Dumpster Divas, welcome to another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet, and my sister,
Kix Hamlet. We are here to dive into the reality TV that made us, well, the garbage we are.
I know, that's right. And expect like a mix of throwback recaps as well as chats about what we are still watching today.
Tom, are you ready to get into it?
Let's go. Hi, Kix.
Hi.
What's up?
Nothing much. Thrilled to talk about today's subject.
Yes, so excited.
Yeah, when I was doing all of the back-end research and just kind of re-immersing myself in the world of Survivor, it's a world I haven't touched in a bit, so I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, I feel like with Survivor, it's a, you go through, since it's all available on streaming now, I feel like people go through bizarre little phases where they're like,
totally
diving in into a level that's like unhealthy, which I am currently in again, because of us, this decision to cover this today. I'm like watching like three different seasons right now.
That sounds like a lot of work.
It's just background noise. Like that's what it is. Cause the show is so formulaic that like, you can kind of like zone out for like them on the beach and then just like come to a tribal and challenges, you know? It's true. It really is. I think one day when there is a kind of like, well, Entertainment Weekly is now debunked, but some sort of like definitive list of,
AKA out of business.
Well, no, they're not out of business, but they're still operate, but they don't operate as a magazine anymore. But
which I'm bummed about. We used to get Entertainment Weekly when we were kids.
I know. But when someone releases kind of like the definitive list of like the television shows to watch before the aliens like kidnap us, or the shows that we'll send to aliens, you know, like
Tom, I'm gonna stop you. Maybe we save this for an offline conversation. What? And you stop giving away people content. This sounds like a great
I'm saying this is a piece of television that should be sent to an alien spaceship, you know what I mean? Like this series, like it is I think maybe one of the best television shows, and if not the best television show, one of the best reality television shows to ever exist.
I mean, it has stood the test of time. It continues to be like the top five best like reality television shows of all time. It's been on for 45 seasons.
So yeah, so season 45 airs this September, which is insane. Yeah.
And the host is the same. They haven't changed a premise on the show.
Jeff has had a couple eye lifts, but like besides that, like nothing's changed.
I did write down like, why does Jeff, what did he get done? Because he still looks the same, but older. He definitely got something in his mouth done.
I think there's been a facelift.
The facelift thing really stresses me out, because like the idea of them literally just cutting
they have
like,
less invasive ones now though.
Okay.
Where it's not like...
Well, because they, like, if you get, like a lift, you slice, not you personally, you slice the head, and then you just yank it up.
I'm aware, but I'm just saying, my understanding is there's kind of like, well, cool sculpting, they do that sometimes,
that shit's dangerous.
That is dangerous, so I don't suggest that for anyone. That's how, what's her face, had that...
Miss Linda.
Yeah, Linda. Although, wait.
She looks great.
I know. So if anyone hasn't seen all the like 90s supermodels of this Vogue cover, and one of which being Linda Evangelista, it was Linda Evangelista, Christy Turlington, Naomi Campbell, and I'm missing one.
What's her face? Kaya Gerber's mom. So fucked up to say.
Yeah, what's her name? Oh my God.
Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford. Sorry, Cindy. She's a big fan of the pod. Yeah. They did. Yeah, that was the first time we'd seen Linda, and she looked fine. I think she looked gorgeous. She looked much better than fine. Like,
I think that she's covered up. You can't see her face. I feel bad for her because, like, her, she, it's her moneymaker.
It is. But we are not here to talk about coal sculpting. We are here to talk about Survivor. So we are talking Survivor Borneo. That is season one, episode one.
I have no idea how to say this out loud.
Borneo?
Borneo?
How else would you say it? It's spelled exactly how it sounds. What was your first inclination?
Buero.
Buero?
But that's because I'm dyslexic.
Undiagnosed.
Yeah, not legally.
Kick says undiagnosed dyslexia. I have undiagnosed ADHD. So that's where we kind of stand. Shout out mom and dad.
Borneo.
Yeah, just sound it out. It's actually one of the easier ones.
Borneo. It's tough.
It's a six-letter word that's spelled phonetically. It's not that tough.
It's just funny to me because all of their... I feel like they stopped naming things because now it's all filmed, like, what, in Fiji or something?
Yeah, so that is my one... Well, I have a couple complaints about current Survivor, to be honest with you. One of my big ones is I miss the, like, ever-changing landscapes. I thought it was so... Yeah. Fun the way that the show would move to different places and you would get to see different climates, like that. The climate aspect of it, I think, is so interesting.
Well, they almost died in Australia, so they're definitely not going back there.
But I mean, now they would test things, I think, a bit more than they did then. Yes. I don't understand why they go to the same beach. It's the same beach they've been going to.
No, I know.
Like, they just, like...
It's groomed. At this point, the beach is groomed for...
It's a set.
Like, the contestants.
No, I know. What? It's a set, I'm saying. Like, it's a...
Yeah, it's a set.
It's literally a TV set. Because, like, So, I did not watch... Season 43, I couldn't watch because it was so genuine. Like, we've lost a bit of the grit that these early seasons have and the mixture of, like, different... kind of types of people. Now everyone is like sunshines and rainbows, and Jeff talks about the show as a kid's show, and in my mind it's not a kid's show. In my mind it is a very adult program where people are naked, and not that I need more nakedness, but I'm saying, like, we've lost the thread of that a little bit, and everyone is so nice and not mean.
Well, if you have not watched, I apologize for the inside baseball we're about to get into, but you should watch. Two, what I think we've lost, what you're saying, I think, is also that we've lost the point of the game a little bit. It's like, we're voting, they're now only, the last season I watched, they're doing voting blocks instead of, like, true alliances. So there's no, like, backstabbing happening. Everybody's just voting with the tribe and with the island, but that's not fun. That's not the point. What Big Brother still has is this, like, alliance, like, backstabby kind of, like, secret game that's happening. Survivor, it's just like, I feel like now it's just like, let's vote all together because then we can hold hands and make to the end. And it's just like, the voting block thing is snoozy. I get it when it's needed, but it is snoozy.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on that, though, because you have not seen season 44, which I had not seen either until this week. And I'm about halfway through, and it is hilarious. It's messy again. Okay. So I want you to watch that, though, because Survivor heads will disagree with you on that statement. I agree, though, that, like, the overall sort of issue with these competition stuff is that you're right, like block voting. It needs to be alliance focused. It needs to be backstabbing. And
it needs to be selfish.
It needs to be
bring back selfishness.
Yes.
I would say, I guess the last season I truly started and didn't finish was season 41, because that was, like, post Winners at War, which was incredible television. And so I was like, oh, maybe I'll get back into it. And then I was like, flop.
41's kind of meh. I would suggest 42 is good. I really liked the winner on 42. But 43, I struggled. I just found everyone to be too nice. And then the person who wins is this, like, very weird, like, pro, you know, police, guns, right wing kind of.
End of the pod.
friend of the pod. It just left a weird taste in my mouth. So I took him. I had to take a breather from Survivor. But 44 is looking good, and I would like to be on. I'm saying my goal is to be on Survivor.
Tom's destined for it.
Survivor before 50. Before season 50, I want to be on Survivor.
Before season 50.
I'm manifesting that right now. Granted, manifesting doesn't just make a tape appear. I'll need to make a tape, and I'm definitely going to need your assistance in that. But I would really like to be a part of the CBS reality universe. So,
yeah, I agree. I think you're going to be great on it. And then you're going to go on the challenge, and that's how I become on it, because I'm going to go on the challenge and be bad at it. And everybody's like, haha, fan favorite.
Wait, but I was watching the challenge. They have a new season of the Challenge USA out, and I've just started it. There's only two episodes. You should watch it.
Okay.
It's on Paramount. And it's better than last season, because they're bringing last season of USA, which is their network version of the challenge. It's on CBS. It's all Survivor, Big Brother, Amazing Race. And last season they had no challenge vets. It was just all people who never played the challenge before. And so they didn't play it right. It's a different game. And so they didn't play it right. This season they have a group of challenge vets. So Johnny Bananas, Wes, who I love, Corey.
Anissa.
No, Anissa.
I saw that Tori posted on Instagram. Oh, you said Tori. And Anissa are back.
No. Maybe Anissa's on a different one. She's not on this season. You said Corey. Corey is back, which Corey has not been on in forever. Because remember, he had a baby with that girl from Teen Mom? Yeah. Regardless, this season's been pretty good. And I don't know what my point there was, but...
I don't know.
I was watching it and
bring back... drinking and punching and
that's not
kicking.
My point. That's not my point. They still don't have that. My point is I was watching it thinking about my future and thinking about how I'm going to be on Survivor. I don't want to win Survivor. I want to go far and then be kind of like circulated, kind of passed off through all of the network shows.
I believe in you.
Thank you. But the challenge, here's the thing. The men
no pun intended.
Face the men. And if can you picture me versus... like Johnny Bananas in a wall brawl.
I can because I'm laughing.
He would snap my ankle in half. I'd be like, It wouldn't
be good.
Now we're
laughing.
We are laughing, but
so now there's the thread.
It doesn't result in me winning anything.
Oh my God, you and I on a reality TV show together would be ruin our relationship, I think. So.
I don't think it would. I think we would be fine on The Amazing Race together. I just worry that It would make for good TV. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
it would
be sobbing the whole time. Because
people don't understand how much we fight a lot, but not in a way that to us is fighting. But I think to others, it's fighting.
Yeah. But I actually don't think so, because we don't fight like brother, sister. Like, we don't, like...
No, but we'll get in intense my mind, and we'll just read each other on something. And people will be like, oh my God. And then we'll, like, move on. Sorry. But once again, today we are talking the beginning, the origins of it all. And we wanted to go guest list for this because we have a lot to say. And it felt right. So we're covering, once again, Survivor Borneo, a new word to Kix that she just said. Borneo.
We will be spoiling things. Okay. If you've never seen Survivor, Tom's rolling his eyes. But some people like spoiler-free.
We've never gotten that. We've never gotten that from anyone who listens to this podcast.
No, but I'm just saying Survivor people who have like, I don't want to know anything. If you start from the beginning.
The idea that someone's a Survivor person that doesn't know who wins season one, it would be insane to me.
No, I'm just going to mention other winners.
Oh, I understand. Okay.
That's what I mean.
Because the show's been around for literally 23 years. So.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck you. If it's not been spoiled for you, where have you been?
Yeah, so season one, episode one, premiered May 31st, 2000.
How old were you? This was a fun game to play.
Let's see, 2000. Well, 2001, we all know where we were, and that was my fifth grade year. So I think I was, May 31st, I was in, I think that was, I had just ended third grade.
Yeah, I had just ended kindergarten.
And we did not watch this. However, I have a core memory about the Survivor premiere.
Mm.
And I don't know if you remember. I actually don't think you'll remember.
I certainly don't.
Because you were a child.
In kindergarten.
Oh, I don't have that's a child on the soundboard today, but I can add it. That's a child. So we went to our father's, now I'm going to really age him. I'm assuming it had to have been, it was 20 year, because it was 2000. His 20 year high school reunion in Hereford, Texas.
Smells like an ass.
It smells like manure because it's a cow town. That has nothing to do with the story, but thank you for kind of throwing that in there.
I'm just setting the scene.
Yeah, and so mom and dad could have fun at the reunion. They brought like two babysitters to come just hang out with Kix and I that went to our church. And I remember when they went to the reunion, they were asking mom and dad, they were like, there's only one thing that we ask is that, like, can we please watch the Survivor? Like, I don't know if it was the finale, but there was an episode that they were like, we have to watch it tonight. And it's just kind of like a non-negotiable for us. And they were like, yeah, that's fine. The kids won't even remember what it is. So it's fine. Mm-mm. And I just remember them watching it. I don't remember what episode it was. I don't remember it, but I remember that being a core memory of like learning about Survivor being something huge that like people
that's
were
like
tuning
so
in
culturally
for.
Important.
And speaking of it being so huge and culturally important, by episode two of season one of episode one, they were ranking in 18 million viewers.
18 million in like a day. Like that is no, who has done that since?
Well, I think a lot of people did it during the time. I mean, the landscape was different. There was no streaming platforms, there was no DVR, so there was no one was getting rewatch residuals, which, speaking of residuals, once again, pay residuals to people, please.
AI is not real. Okay, anyways, keep going.
A lot of people got a lot of viewers, but 18 million to me seems just insane. I'm sure American Idol was living around the same sphere. That was a couple years after this, but you know, and this was one of the first reality shows to be on actual network television, because we had Real World, which was kind of our first iteration, which premiered in 1990. What was it? Five?
Yeah.
Something around
like
there.
Like five or six. Yeah.
And so we had that iteration, but this is the first thing, one of the first things on network television, reality TV competition. I mean, it was a huge cultural moment in media.
I mean, we have genuinely never been the same. Like, I know that's goes like again, but they set the scene for all reality competition shows. I mean, jumping ahead a little bit, when I was looking at the other reality TV that was airing at the time, like, I didn't realize that Amazing Race hadn't started yet.
Mm-mm. No, it's the beginning.
Yeah, The Challenge was on its second season. Big Brother was on its second season. And those are so specific. Like, The Challenge was like Challenge Road Rules. Like, it was not what it is today. Like, the Survivor was like, here is a formula. We are going to put people in these really fucked up situations in the middle of nowhere and plop them on the beach with literally nothing. But like, they get one personal item. Someone brought a Bible, someone brought a ukulele. So like, that's just set, like, they really started this whole, like, I feel like reality TV phenomenon. I mean, Big Brother season one and two, like season one had just happened. So like, that was probably realistically the kickoff, but
it feels bigger than Big Brother.
Middle
because
ground. Yeah.
They took this concept of the similar voting off of an island concept, but took it literally and took them somewhere and like,
they're like, you're not on a soundstage in LA. We're going to take you to a fucking island.
Yeah. And also took people to places they've never been to or heard of before, like Borneo, Malaysia. So, so March 7th, 2000, the contestants left to go. I found this interesting just timeline wise. So they left to go film the show March 7th. Now remember, the show airs May 31st. They finished filming like mid-April.
That's
tight.
And
then the show aired like 6 weeks later. I'm like, Those editors must have been working their little fucking asses off. And then, so on the actual island itself, not the island, but where they were, the two tribes were 20 miles from each other.
Jaws on the floor.
20 miles. Well,
it's funny you say that because it's not that funny, but the Australia season is so fucking nuts. If you've never watched Survivor, watch season one. Watch Australia season, like I think it's like two or three. They walked their like middle of nowhere asses like 5 miles to the vote, like to tribal. The ceremony. Tribal, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like when you think about all this stuff, like now they probably get driven in a boat or they're right around the corner from each other.
I think they probably walk, but I think the camps are so close to each other. And I feel like they have boundaries on like where they, how far they can go. Then when this was happening, they could go wherever they wanted on that island. I mean, they just had free reign. I mean, they were just like surviving quite literally.
Sorry, I just had to correct myself because Big Brother aired July 5th, 2000.
Yeah, I believed that this was before that, but I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I was confused because for some reason I thought it was the second season, but yeah, it aired July 5th, 2000. So this was literally a month before.
Yeah, so they had announced the show and they received something insane. I saw somewhere like 100,000. I mean, think about in non-social media times what this meant. They received something insane like 100,000 applications to be on the show of people.
And email was not that big.
No.
So they probably wrote in.
Like, so the demand was huge that I think that Mark Burnett was like, oh, we have something on our hands. And then Big Brother became a thing. That would be my inference on how that kind of like all panned out. But yeah, so we're in Malaysia. The show's a hit. And we have our winner, which was Richard Hatch, which first gay winner and first icon. Winner.
Honestly.
Go off.
Slay. Go off. Start big.
And then I was looking for like any sort of like controversy, excuse me, about the show. And I did find something really hilarious. Jesus. So in early 2001, so nearly a year after the show had aired, Borneo contestant Stacey Stillman sued CBS because she claimed that Mark Burnett rigged the winner to be Richard Hatch by persuading Rudy, who got to the final, the jury, Rudy to persuade him to be like the vote for Richard.
It sounds like she's a sore loser.
She sued for, wait for it, $75,000, which, okay, here's the thing. Swing big. you're suing CBS. So CBS and Mark Burnett countersued for $5 million.
Yikes.
Which feels like such a dick move, but I can't help but laugh because I'm like, girl, you were that pressed over losing. You were on like the biggest hit show.
Fucking lot of money, but it's also part of the show.
Yeah, and then the lawsuit never kind of went anywhere. So I thought that was a little bit of a lull.
Yes, for sure.
But then, Kix, what was sort of the... But what were people watching? What were people listening to?
I mean, once again, the movies are an LOL. The music is so much fun. The number in the box office, Mission Impossible 2, Gladiator, Shanghai Noon. I'm not sure what that is.
Wait. Shanghai Noon is such a like movie theater experience that I remember so vividly. I was obsessed with it.
Really?
Yes, Shanghai Noon. It's Jackie Chang and Owen Wilson.
Yeah, Lucy Liu.
It's like a Jackie Chan like.
Add it to your watch list, kids.
Well, you know they're making a new Shanghai Noon, and they're also doing a new Rush Hour movie. I think Jackie is gonna have like the
first name
a Chanissance. And I'm here for it. I want a Chanissance. Jackie was the best.
Anyways, Road Trip. Don't know what that is.
What do you mean? This is 7-1. This is insane to me. that you don't know these things. Road Trip.
I was in kindergarten, you fucking crazy person.
Road Trip, Ashton Kutcher.
Seth Green? I have no idea. I'm literally just Googling.
Wow, this is crazy to me.
Would you know what U571 is?
No, I don't know that.
Road Trip is not Ashton Kutcher. It is
Todd
Phillips.
It's, no, it's not Ashton Kutcher.
Sean William Scott.
It's Seth Green and Sean William Scott.
Tom Green, yeah.
Oh, Tom Green. No, Seth Green's not in it. Oh no, you're right. It's Tom Green.
I'm literally looking at
him. And what's his face from American Pie.
Yes.
And Freddie Prinze Jr.
I can picture the cover came up when I Googled it and I was like, oh, I know what this is. Love and Basketball is on this list, which is I know that movie.
Okay.
Tom.
Have you seen it?
Aaron Brockovich, The Flintstones, and Viva Rock Vegas.
These are great movies.
They're hits.
Aaron Brockovich is formative for so many people. I mean, have you seen Aaron Brockovich?
I know. Don't yell at me. I know.
Wow. Picks.
I know it's like the, it's like, ooh, you have to watch it.
Wow.
Literally.
No, but the performances are amazing.
Every day this week, it's only Tuesday, so we're at 3 days. Tom has gotten on to me about not seeing a movie.
And this is why I don't want you to rewatch Marvel from the beginning, because there's so many movies that you've never seen before. Like Aaron Brockovich. Oh my God.
Brockovich. So in music, moving on, number one in the, not the box office, the Billboard Top 100, Maria Maria by Santana.
Maria.
Classic. She reminds me of a set still. Okay. Breathe, Faith Hill, Thong Great. Song, which is a smash hit.
Oh, Cisco?
Yeah, Cisco. He Wasn't Man Enough, Toni Braxton. Mm-hmm. You Sang to Me, Mark Anthony.
I don't know that one.
I'm not sure. On here, on 9 and 10, 9 is Try Again by Aaliyah. 10 is Say My Name, Destiny's Child.
We'll try again. Take yourself home and try again. And Say My Name, of course, classic. Brings it back to Bravo, Candy Burris.
Yeah.
Say My Name.
Her.
Won her first Grammy, I think, right?
Yeah.
She's she's international. That's not... bitch, I'm...
It's her tagline.
Bitch, I'm worldwide.
Oh shit, okay.
She's international.
And like I mentioned, the reality TV, that there was not much airing because there was
nothing
like
besides
early.
The Challenge.
But I do want to mention, so Real World New Orleans was on, Challenge was on its second season. Like I mentioned, Big Brother has yet to air, Making the Band, Jackass, and Cribs. Cribs I had to put on here because it's technically reality TV.
Yeah,
but
it's definitely reality.
It was... Well, iconic.
You know, I do think at some point we need to... I have never seen Making the Band, and I think that has to be in the mix at some point.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know where it is on streaming, but... Well, are you ready to get into this episode?
I am. The last thing I want to mention,
okay.
We're harping on this, and I'm harping on this in particular, but we have yet to see so much television. American Idol has yet to air. Amazing Race has yet to air. Mm-hmm. The Bachelor has yet to air. Like all of these like iconic reality TV moments have yet to air. Survivor. Let's get into it.
It's the beginning. So season one, episode one, Borneo. The cast as follows. We have Sonia... BB makes me laugh. His name is BB, yeah. And he's ancient.
Yeah.
Stacy, Ramona, Dirk, Joel, Gretchen, Greg, Jenna, Gervais, Colleen, Sean, Susan, Rudy, Kelly, and Richard Hatch. Kelly Wigglesworth, Richard Hatch, Rudy, Susan Hawk. Gervais, there's a couple others that make returns in other seasons.
Yeah,
I know a couple of these are in Heroes versus Villains, All Stars, which is a blind spot for me. I've never seen Survivor All Stars, which I know kicks. That's a you shocked for me. I've never seen 1 through 10.
What?
At all of Survivor.
What?
No, I've never seen 1 through 10.
What?
Yes.
I'm getting shit on.
I said
all the time for my lack of television, and you haven't seen Survivor 1 through 10.
You've known this because you're always like, you've never seen Australia where they walk a marathon. You've never seen Buss and Rob and Amber fall in love. Amber, that's her name, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I haven't. The earliest season I've seen is China. So wait,
you're on a rewatch right now. Tell me you're watching, prioritizing.
So I'm watching, I'm going to kind of skim through Borneo. And then I'm watching, you know, I am a diehard Queen Stays Queen fan, but I've actually never seen her OG season. What's it called? Pearl Islands. So that is the season I'm watching right now. And that's crazy. And that's season 7, I think.
I'm doing the Big Brother meme of
Devon. Devon.
Never mind.
It's Devon.
Devon, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretends to be shocked.
Yeah. So yes, I have a blind spot with Survivor 1 through 10. I just when I began my journey, I was like, do I have to watch a show from 2000, May 2000?
And you actually do.
And here's the thing: the lesson I learned today is the show stands alone. I mean, it stands up. I mean, it's completely watchable. What's your shock face?
I tried to pull up a picture of the cast. And the first thing on Google is, which Survivor player is in jail? Richard Hatch.
He's not in jail right now.
No. One count of tax evasion, 51 months in prison.
I believe he was one of the victims of the classic won reality show money and didn't do the right things with it.
Oof.
Yeah. If you ever win a show, if you ever win anything on television, put aside half of it to some sort of savings account, because you will need to pay that money. Yeah, yeah, something you can't touch without penalty, or like transfer to someone you trust. Maybe don't do that.
call a financial advisor.
Call a financial advisor immediately, because you will be fucked if not, and you will go to jail, and you'll get a RICO charge like Donald Trumpy and Rudy Giuliani. So Borneo, that's the cast. We arrive on a boat. Now, the biggest thing for me, as someone who's seen, I bet you have seen 20 seasons of Survivor, and I just haven't seen these beginning ones. There's so much of the show that just has not changed, which I don't think I've mm-hmm. ever fully appreciated that. Mm-hmm. We're starting on a boat, and Jeff is like walking and talking to the camera while people are throwing their shit off the boat. Jeff looks the same. The contestants,
except his mouth.
The boat looks the same. Yeah. Like, people are throwing chickens off the boat.
The buffs look the same.
It's all the same. They still got
those buffs. What is a buff until Survivor defined it? It's my thing.
I know. This was like a moment where I'd be like, Kicks, don't you know? I honestly don't know the term outside of Survivor. So if you are someone who is familiar with buff culture, please let us know, because it is unfamiliar to me.
Yeah, I think it's probably like a hunting thing.
Once again, a blind spot for me.
So yeah, Tom and I have no fucking clue.
Along with seasons 1 through 10 of Survivor, hunting is also a blind spot for me.
The first thing I wrote down was literally, they have stayed very true to the OG.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, throw your shit, get on a raft that barely floats,
yep,
throw some chickens in the water, and let's go.
Now, if you were on Survivor, what would you wear? Assuming, I know obviously producers participate in the picking of outfits. I've heard this before, that you come with some outfits, but they usually just kind of throw you in an outfit that matches your persona. Like if you're a lawyer, you have to wear a suit or something like that. Because
you have to wear like a blazer and a short.
Right. It makes people remember.
They also make you wear the colors of your team before you quote unquote know your team. That, right. They do that now. Yes. This is not so much that. But
pretend that's out the window, but what would you wear? Yeah. What would you wear? What would you bring?
What I would wear, biker shorts that have a drawstring, because those bitches are going to stretch.
Yes.
Because the more you wear, you're wearing the same clothes for 30 fucking days.
Right.
I'd wear a sports bra that has coverage. I like to, my, I tend to like my tits out, but in this scenario, they need to be locked in.
Locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded. I would wear a tank and then an over, like a button-up shirt. Because I'm like a business lady. So that would be like my like thing. It's like, oh, look, she's got a dress shirt on.
Kicks. You've worn this to a happy hour like last week.
Yeah, I wear it pretty much every weekend.
Yeah. It's not, you prepped it like it was like this new kind of like.
No, certainly not.
Ensemble that you're going to throw together.
What I would bring is my Prozac, actually. So, yeah.
Wait, speaking of Prozac. This episode, we have a bop called the Bye Bye Blues. Did you not catch that?
No.
Kix, what do you mean? What were you doing while you were watching this?
My eyes were watching it. I was taking notes.
Queen Sonia pulls out a ukulele and sings a song about her Prozac.
Yes, yes, yes.
I thought about you immediately.
Well, what makes me really upset, and we won't dive too much into this because Tom and I have had an offline conversation. These shows tend to be, obviously, there's a lot of issues. People who are disabled are not welcome on these shows because they can't do a lot of things in hindsight. However, they also make people not bring medication, and you can't essentially apply if you have take any sort of like prescribed medication because it, like it has advantages on quote unquote situations. So someone who has ADHD.
No, or disadvantages too.
Or disadvantages, exactly. I find it really fucked up. And it's honestly offline, Tom and I have bitched about this because there was someone on Big Brother last season that had to leave and left on her own accord because she stopped taking a certain medication. And
well, Survivor kinda, too.
Yeah.
Did you know about the Survivor?
And it's
person?
Fucked up. It's like, I actually, Prozac makes me a human. So like if I want to compete on this television show and take Prozac, I still cry a lot. Like it's not pushing down like emotions. Like I'm still weeping every day.
I know, but I have one rebuttal to this. My only thing though is you don't know how any medication is going to interact with you starving. Like
I would never do this.
You can't take, like, a lot of people have to take their meds with food. Like,
I do, yeah.
That's a part of, like, the prescription from a doctor. You literally don't have food. So I think, I'm not saying that, I agree that we should not have ableist television that, like, is eliminating people out of it. However, at the same time, there are things that not everyone can naturally be a
just
part
sneezed.
Of.
Did you hear that?
I did hear that. Yeah. There are things. Grizz couldn't go. He couldn't have his inhaler.
Yeah, he couldn't.
No, but there are just things that I'm like, what? Like, I understand that you want to be a part of that, but also don't. I think people are also looking out for your well-being. Like, it's not safe for you to go because you don't know how you're going to interact with certain things.
No, it really bothers me with Big Brother because that is a super controlled environment.
But they can have meds on that.
Hmm?
They can have meds on that. I think
No, they can't.
I'm pretty sure they can.
No, we had this full conversation because like this came up last season of Big Brother. We can look into it. We'll find out.
No,
but
I'm just curious.
It just, it bothers me because it's just hard. I mean, there's so much.
No, you're right. You're
positivity.
Right. You're right. Paloma was the woman. Yeah, her medication was not approved for the show. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and it's messed up, and especially in such a controlled environment like Big Brother, where you have food, you have AC, you have water, you have beds. Like that situation. Yes, I get Survivor. It would be incredibly reckless for me to go on that show and not eat, not sleep, and have to figure out sneak Prozac in my nature's pocket to survive. So
yeah, let's not have you do that. Well, yes, I totally agree. But something they're dealing with right now on Big Brother is they have a he's deaf in one ear, contestant. He's an Olympic swimmer, and he's deaf in one ear, and they are not appropriately providing the instructions for him. Like, I think they underestimated, this is going to sound bad, but they underestimated how deaf he was instead of like actually listening to like what his needs were. And people in the cast are having to literally like step to the side and like mouth to him, like what he needs to do in challenges. Cause he's like, cause you have to listen to like the producers
yeah,
in the sound stages. Like, for those who don't know, in Big Brother, the producers, there are no cameramen. Like, it's just there are cameras lined along the walls that you can't see, and producers are literally standing like on the other side of your kitchen wall, and they'll talk to you and say like, hey, can you talk about this? Can you not talk about
or
that?
Or put your mic on.
Put your, or like your, well, your, yeah, yes, please put your mic on. Stop covering it. Stop talking about the show. Stop cursing, things like that. Mm-hmm. But if you are half deaf, like how in God's name are you supposed to hear a producer on the other side of the wall trying to communicate with you? And so
yeah, and
that's
just
a learning experience.
Frustrating.
They're going through
and
right
I really derailed, but I just wanted, it drives me crazy.
I believe they've had hearing impaired people on Survivor. Survivor, I do believe, has had a bit more of a, somehow a bit more of a mix of like physical abilities too, because they, people mm-hmm. of all, that's something I want to praise about the shows. People of all races, walks of life, socioeconomic
genders.
Standings, genders, gender identities participate mm-hmm. and win the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm someone who has more time on their hands than we do. I want them to like sit down and actually dive into why Survivor versus Big Brother has such a different kind of trajectory of like
someone
their problem.
I'm positive someone has written.
I'm sure there's a podcast about it, but I assume it has to do with the environment
totally.
That you're in. But Survivor to me pulls out the, somehow the best in people when Big Brother pulls out the worst.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're stripped of nothing but your humanness in Survivor. I think that's what makes it so captivating, is that these people are at their literal worst physically, mm-hmm. that like they have nothing but their humanness to show. And like, that's really deep. Wow. But like, it brings out truth in like people's souls, and for the better or for worse. Most of the time it's better.
Yeah.
And people learn. And I think a couple seasons ago, pre-40, it's like pre and post 40 in my mind, pre-40, there was an excellent season that like Jeff and the cast let someone, like not let someone go, but someone was removed from the show for his sexual misconduct. And it brought out real conversations that like never happens on like other television shows, because there's nothing but the person's body to show. Like mm-hmm. there's nothing but like the literally the clothes on your back, and you've been starved for 20 days. And so what else do you have but like to show who you really are?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Also with Survivor, you know, there's relief at the end of it, and there's like an ending in sight. With Big Brother, the end is it's much longer.
Totally.
Especially now. Survivor is way too short now. It's only 26 days now.
Big Brother, this season's 100.
Right. So I'm just like, the end is not near.
So far away.
So I think people go, and also it's live. Like it's happening live. Yeah. America is watching. Survivor, they have more freedom to edit things out. There are things that happen on the island, I'm positive, that never get shown. Like in Big Brother, we're watching literally every second. So that has to be a part
and
of
you
it
can
too.
Pick.
But speaking of your conversation about kind of like people stripped of everything, this happens in day two of this episode. But in day two, Rudy and Richard Hatch have a very interesting interaction. They don't speak about Richard Hatch's sexuality, but he is gay, correct? I'm 99% positive he's gay.
Pause. Is Richard Hatch gay?
Yes, yeah.
He's
gay. Yes, he's gay. He's gay. He came out as gay on in this
went
season.
Nude numerous occasions.
Nudity has nothing to do with sexuality.
I know. It just literally says that on Wikipedia.
No. But Rudy says, he's like, he literally is like, there is nothing about Richard on paper that I would ever want to be around or trust in the world. Essentially saying he's gay. And then he does say he's fat. But he's like,
you
he's
know
a good
he's
competitor.
Fat, but he's good at it. Is right. The exact quote.
Yes, yes. He says, yeah, he's fat, but he's good. It's tough, but it's good.
It's tough, but it's good. It's like, Jesus Christ.
But once again, there's no one. He has to work with who he has there. And Richard Hatch is obviously a very kind of grounded presence here. The first day on the beach, Richard says he's sitting in a tree and just kind of saying off the bat, he's like, you guys were already a disaster because like everyone is, which is a very me thing to do, like sit yeah. in a tree, do nothing and be like, hey girls, like you're doing this wrong, but I'm not going to help. But he sits there and then it cuts to his interview and he's like, people are going to find me really headstrong and really like cocky and that's fine, but I am the winner. I mean, he says
he is an Aries, by the way. So that's big sense. Aries energy.
And that makes sense why I like him, because my partner's an Aries. Yeah, but you know, it's just, it's great. He really is a star. He is a star. He jumped out on the screen to me. Sure,
certainly. Despite the prison sentence, he is a star.
Well, stars can also have troubles managing money. But the tribe is split up into two tribes. So we have Tagi and Pagong. And it's the premise that we know and love. So we have the two mm-hmm. tribes separated. If you've never seen Survivor, what happens is every week there is either one or two challenges, depending on the kind of programming. But one challenge is reward, one challenge is immunity, or they are combined as an immunity and reward challenge. So this episode, our reward challenge, it's a combined challenge, immunity and reward. Mm-hmm. This did make me laugh. It was deeply basic.
Yeah.
They finished it in, I think, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Or less, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, I think they just didn't, but I have to imagine they didn't know how far they could push it. You know what I mean?
I think I'm going to ask this question and I've asked it before on this very air that we're talking. How does one become a fucking game producer for these shows?
I know. I don't know. I mean, this
to
point,
be able to sit in a room and be like, what nonsense can we throw at these people? Sky's the limit.
Well, now now they replicate the same things over and over
yeah.
again.
Yeah, well, and that's part of like the Big Brother challenge Survivor shit is like, you know what's coming.
Yeah. Yeah,
which is kind of fun. But
it is fun, but the last season of Survivor, there's a guy on there that goes pretty far and his kind of claim to fame is that he screen printed or 3D printed all of the puzzles and practiced them for like years.
No, he's a psycho.
Psycho. He's like 18.
So he's definitely a psycho.
Psycho, but a genius and low key, probably gay. But
psycho.
No, but part of me is like, call me old fashioned, but like, can we just like not have people do that? Like, can we just make new puzzles? Like, it's a little, the puzzles are so, like, there's always now that board puzzle with the ball that rolls around and then you gotta get into the little things. Or the one that's tall that they have on Big Brother too, where you have to slide you like walk backwards you have to, like, and you slide pull the ball up to the top of it.
Yeah, you have to like shimmy ropes and stuff.
Right. And I obviously understand there's only so many things we can do, but I do miss some of the, like, those early to middle seasons of Survivor where there are challenges that go on for, like, 5-6 hours or longer. Mm-hmm. I kind of like those. Like, hold on to a pole. See you later. Mm-hmm. You know?
Like, Poverty Season where she literally went into, like, a transcendental state to win.
Yeah, like that is so interesting to me.
That's star quality.
What's not so interesting to me is them getting in a raft and pushing fire and then they just have to light every torch, which is what happens. So they have a...
And they can touch the ground. So it's like, is it hard? I'm not sure.
Yeah, so they have a raft with a little bonfire on it and they have to push it across the water and light these buoys in the water with the fire, with their torches. And then once they get to the shore, pick up the raft and then light all of the torches heading to this like one big man that they light at the end.
The most fucked up challenge they ever do on Survivor is essentially waterboarding. The challenge where they have to like, there's like tides
explain
that come
it.
In.
Well, explain it
and
to
they have
everyone.
To like hold their breath.
No, but
and
explain
they have, like a tiny little hole.
I know, but explain like what the setup is.
So they're in the middle of the little ocean.
I know what it is, but just explain to people who haven't seen it what it looks like. So essentially, I'll just do it. There's like a cage essentially, and they timed it perfectly where like they could stand in the water or something like that and have plenty, and their head was above the water, but they timed it so the tide was going to begin to rise And as the tide was going to rise, the only thing, they could not go above the grating. Like, they had to stay underneath it. And so as the water rises, they have to get their mouth closer and closer to this, like, it's essentially like a gate laid down in the water. And so at some point it gets to people literally with their lips just like hanging outside of this little gate, drowning.
Drowning, certainly drowning. Yeah.
it's insane. That one sticks out to me. Also, the Parvati one where she's holding on to the pole, that was insane.
It's really iconic.
And there's other ones that kind of I'm forgetting right now, but where
food ones are always too much for me. That's see, where
I like the food.
That's where I can't do. I can't do those.
Would you be able to eat weird shit?
No. Because I get in my head about it. Like, I'm always down to try something once, but I get in my head, like, the heat, the smell. I have, like, such a temperature thing with food, mm-hmm. which I found recently, figured out why I don't like sushi. Unrelated. But all of that combined, just, I don't think I could do it.
Yeah, Kix doesn't like cold things for some reason.
No, it's just, I don't want to get into it. Okay. Even though I brought it up.
You quite literally did. So once again, the challenge there, we're bringing this fire up to the beach, and Pagong does end up winning, sending Tagi to the tribal council. Now, this is their first tribal council, and, you know, we get fire being lit for the first time. Fire represents life, which is like a huge, you know, grounding statement in the Survivor universe. And it's been said since literally episode one, season one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jeff always says fire represents life in this game. If you have fire, you are in it. If the fire is gone, you are no longer here. So we have our first tribal discussion. Now, this tribal is very... you're not on the edge of your seat. These people don't really know how to like turn it up for the cameras, which I'm actually honestly mm-hmm. okay with. Mm-hmm. And they're all, and this is also, we haven't spoken about this, but this is way before immunity necklaces were ever brought into the game. So for those who don't know, now in the game, they hide rewards all over their camps. There's ways to win immunity idols. There's all this stuff. But immunity idols didn't come into play until season 11 of Survivor. So we're mm-hmm. way far out from that. And I kind of want us to return to this form of let's just talk about who should go home. And there's no, you can still backstab people. I mean, they do it on Big mm-hmm. Brother. You can still, you know, you can still really surprise people with votes without it being leaning on people's luck of finding certain kind of
no, it makes rewards. It more human.
Yeah.
Because like people are bitching and fighting and backstabbing, and it's what makes it fun, honestly.
Yeah, and poor Sonia, she's literally sitting there and she's like, yeah, I'm having a hard day, but I do love these people. And this is the woman that wrote the song about her Prozac earlier. And they do end up sending sweet Sonia home. And Sonia says, she says on like her exit, did you watch the final exit, like when the credits roll? Like mm-mm. when she talks to the camera? Mm-mm. Oh, in that she's like, I'm really sad, but like, I understand I would have voted for me too. I was like, Sonia. Also, something crazy. I mean, some of these people are old. Are they still alive? I'm serious. This is 23 years ago.
I don't know. Don't put that out there.
No, probably no, no. Not. It's just insane to me, this idea that like, reality TV legends may become extinct. But wait,
well, so, speaking of legends.
Wait, no. Someone we didn't talk about though really at all in this episode, and I want to kind of hear from you, what other like standouts did you have, like characters in the episode? Because there is someone that really stood out to me.
I didn't really feel like emotionally standout-y to anyone. I loved obviously Richard was the star of the show, and the dude that he fights with, and then their friends who almost got voted out the second time, or the other person that people kept voting for. But no one really stood out. I was just kind of like soaking it in because it's just such like a moment in time.
Oh, well, I was obsessed with Susan Hawk from Wisconsin. She's like, I'm a redneck from Wisconsin, and I'm a truck driver. She just had star quality to me that jumped off the screen, and I want to keep watching the season just to see how her story unfolds. But back to kind of one of my points at the beginning about that controversy about Stacey Stillman suing CBS for for her not winning. Mm-hmm. I just want to like let everyone know who's never watched this season. I once again had not watched the season. Don't know the rankings of where people places. I am going to spoil. Stacey was voted out third. That would be like Victoria Porkchop Parker suing RuPaul for like not winning RuPaul's Drag Race. For those that get that reference. I mean,
oh shit.
What a wild move. And also, she's an attorney.
She's trying to get that coin.
But I'm sorry. What kind of attorney are you if you think that's a smart decision to make? No?
You're an idiot, actually.
Right. Well, I hope everyone continues to watch this season. And if not, if you just watch this episode, dive into other seasons. Kix and I, though, are going to kind of chat a little bit about other seasons of the show that are our favorites. And some of our favorite winners and favorite players of the game of Survivor. So Kix, why don't you tell me, let's go back and forth with some fave seasons, like Micronesia. That is the Cerie.
I feel like that's the name on everybody's mouth. If you're like, what's your favorite season? People are going to be like, Micronesia, yeah, start
so,
there.
Yeah, so Micronesia is a fans first favorite season. It's the first one they did. And this is where Cerie, who we brought up last week about Big Brother, she's playing Big Brother this season, was brought in. This was her second season on.
Yes.
But her and Parvati and Amanda create this insane women's alliance, which in my mind, I'm like, in all these shows, we don't have enough women's alliances still.
No, because they're famously, they always fail, which is so fucked up.
No, but it's so fucked up. They never do well. Yeah. Yeah. So that season stands out to me because women really like stepped forward and just fucking nailed it. Also, Blood versus Water, all of those Blood versus Water seasons.
I would also, Heroes versus Villains is pretty an iconic.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the Boston Rob and Amber.
No, they were not. That's All Stars that they fell All in love Stars. On. Yeah. Heroes versus Villains is where Queen Stays Queen, Sandra, wins.
Yeah.
For a second time. That was her second
time.
Yeah. That season is insane. Also, Parvati goes to the end of that season. I mean, Cerie does not play that season. And then this is a very controversial one. And I'm not saying the premise stands. And I'm not even suggesting you watch it. But it was a season that I came to. It was a season.
I know what you're going
to
say.
It was a season that I came to. Or like, that was one of the first ones I ever watched. And that's Cook Islands. And they decided to do a crazy move and split people up by race.
Wow.
It's
shocking.
Shocking.
Once the merge happens, there's no more kind of like racial discussions, and the gameplay is insane. And that's where we get players like Ozzy, which leads me to one of my favorite players, which is Yule, who ended up winning Cook Islands.
Yes.
I'm obsessed.
I do like Yule.
With Yule. But so let's talk players. Like, who are some of your favorite winners and players?
I mean, there's nothing on my list that's like really shocking. It's like Boston Rob is an incredible Survivor player. He is so fascinating to watch. He's similar to me, like I feel like Cerie the season of Big Brother, where it's like, you know that they're good at this game and they're going to go far. Mm-hmm. So why is nobody going to kick him off? But then they win. Like, and mm-hmm. So I feel like Boston Rob, he's also won twice, him and Sandra. Mm-mm.
I think he's once. I think the only twos are Tony and Sandra, because Tony won Winners at War.
Yeah.
Boston Rob Survivor wins.
Yeah, Tony and Sandra.
Yeah, he's only won. Rob's won once, but
he's been on so many times.
He's been on six seasons. Yeah.
So obviously, I think Boston Rob is a clear like number up here. Poverty is also like such a star. She's a reality TV star. And she's also so good at this game that she's just so fun to watch and root for. Sandra, obviously, again, both pretty, all three so far so basic. Tyson is kind of another one that I wanted to mention that I really love. Tyson is like tall, redhead. He is just such a good like person and a good player. He's not.
You
like,
think he's a? I think he's a bad person, which is why I like him. I mean, I think in life he's a good person.
Tyson.
In life, he's a good person, but I'm saying in the game. He's a villain. He's so ruthless in the game, and he just like calls out people. He's like, "Oh my God, stop lying to me."
I like him.
No, and then I love him. He's my favorite player of all time.
And then Natalie Anderson. I've talked about her before. She is a star player. She was on the challenge. She's like the newer player. She's won before and was on Winners at War. But I think she is a excellent, like, just game player at this stuff. And she's also someone that you root for. And she's not a villain. And she's not a, like, hero. She's just kind of like a good Survivor player.
Yeah, she's...
And then honorable mention. Go ahead.
Well, obviously, Natalie is on a blood versus water season that is crazy. The way she
so fucking
gets...
Good. That's the one she won.
No, I know. I know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
It's the way she gets to win is bonkers insane. And she's...
Her sister was the first one off.
Uh-huh.
So she was the first person without the blood aspect of it.
Yep.
And goes to win the whole fucking thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
It's the way she plays it is genius.
Honorable mention is Ty Trang.
We have the same people. I mean, Ty was on my list too. I love him and his
so
little chickens.
Excellent. He befriends and has a pet chicken that nobody will kill. Nobody will do anything to. Because people who haven't watched some of the rewards, you get chickens. Some people kill them. Some people save them for eggs and company. But
yeah.
He like befriends one and it becomes his true pet, and it's amazing. I love him.
So a couple more that you didn't say. Well, Tyson is my favorite of all time. I think he is the best of the game. He's one of the best at the game, I would say. And he's shady, which I like, and which is why I also love Sandra. I think a non-winner, obviously, that's probably my favorite non-winner is Ceree. She's played it she's played it four or five times. Just literally genius. She also went on last year to win the Traitors because she knows how to play the game. And she's running the house in Big Brother as we speak. So,
well, okay. Now that we're talking about Ceree, I have a question I think it's a network issue, but she's not talking about the Traitors at all on.
Yeah, she can't. It's an NBC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Got it.
My understanding is that she was probably out of contract with CBS because she hadn't been on a CBS show in forever that she could do do Traitors. And then I think she was so good on it that CBS is probably like, oh shit, why have we not thrown her back in the mix? So, a couple others that I love. I also love Amanda Kimmel. So Amanda Kimmel is the third member of like the Women's Alliance in Micronesia. And she, I believe, places second on that season. That's the season Parvati does win. Parvati's won twice. Hasn't she?
Yes,
she won.
She's only won once.
I thought she won.
She's gone to the final before.
Oh, you're right. She's gone to the final twice.
Yes, yeah. Was it Heroes versus Villains where she went to the final?
She's the winner of Micronesia. And then she's in the finals of Hero versus Villains. Yeah.
With that douche that won.
Yeah. But then also, do you remember Jeremy the Gravedigger?
Yes.
I believe that's his name. I think that's his name. He was so hot.
Yes, yes.
No, James, excuse me, James. James.
James. James Clement. James Clement. Yeah.
Yeah, he is deeply, deeply hot.
He's hot.
Because he's hot. On with Parvati, and Parvati is, I just love their will they, won't they, even though Parvati literally won't they, because she's just she just is like, what I love about her is she's like, I'm hot. I'm not going to not use it. But she's like, she does it in a way that's not degrading or like, it's honestly like so feminist in the way that she's like, as women, we must use what we have and they don't give us much to use.
What I have is hotness.
And what I have is brains and hot. So let's fucking go. Well, This was a blast. Survivor. Oh my God. We haven't talked about it at all before.
No, we really haven't. I'm definitely going to go back and watch a lot of this. I think I don't have this like encyclopedic knowledge because I watched them in such a weird order during, it was pre-pandemic. I started a journey with Survivor. But yeah, I think I'm definitely going to go back and watch the heavy hitters. I think what we always laugh about is like Tom and I are America's Next Top Model. Like you can say one name and we'll tell you their season. We are not that for Survivor. And we always laugh that people are like, oh yeah, Jeremy from Micronesia in season 4, episode 2, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I can name you who went home first on cycle 6. So like, but then yeah, I'm like, exactly. How do people know these names? Oh, one more that I love. Dawn Meehan. Her name's Dawn. She's like the first Karen that Karen'd. Right now, if you're listening, if you've gotten this far into the pod, look up Dawn Meehan. She's a lol. She's pure chaos. And she takes out her teeth at a tribal council. She takes them out of her mouth as her final, like, look at me. I'm here standing in front of you, raw, teeth, toothless. Oh, yeah. Look up.
Toothless.
Yeah, if you look up her teeth, like, you're gonna think you're gonna think that it was photoshopped. No, she took them out.
And John Cochran also is kind of a legend. I don't personally love him, but he is very legendary at this game.
He is. Well, this was so fun. I hope you guys watched the episode, and if you haven't, do watch that. And we will be and we'll be back next week with a little what we're watching chat. Make sure to rate us, review us on all of the platforms that you listen to us on, and follow us all the good spots. And we had a blast. I hope you did too.
Toodaloo.
Bye. That's another ep in the books. Make sure to follow me at TTomHamlet on Instagram. And you can follow Kix.
At Kix Hamlet, that's spelled C-I-X. And make sure to follow the pod on IG at Dumpster Dive Pod. And on TikTok at 2DumpsterDivas.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us and all the pods you love on your favorite app of choice. And we will see y'all soon.
Bye. Bye.